Good Friday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5, the game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson hanging out with you. He is at our Wholesale Link studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan and I are at our home studios as we continue to physically distance, not social distance, because we're here socially with all of you. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Chaser. How are you?
Man, I am feeling good. Made it through the week. Had a lot going on this week. Very busy. Very, very busy.
TGIF.
So, yeah, so happy to be here on a free business Friday. So why don't you tell us about that? This is a new concept that we're rolling out. You will hear the first round here in just a few minutes, but this is something at Cromwell Media, 102.5 The Game, that we're doing. Very excited about it.
Yeah, so if you own or manage a small business, or if you're open and you want to let people know what you're doing, either to help the community or how the community can help you, then this is tailor-made for you. This is no cost. This is no catch. This is just pure free advertising to any local businesses out there that want to partake. You can email us at together@cromwellmedia.com. That is together@cromwellmedia.com. Don't know if we can get you in today. We might be able to the sooner that you reach out. But we're going to be doing this on Fridays moving forward during some select commercial breaks, hearing from local businesses that have some cool things going on. And the first one is coming up here in about 10 minutes. So,
are you nervous? Because you're doing that one. Are you nervous?
Not at all.
Good. Proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you too, Chase.
Very cool.
But this is our way to kind of lend a helping hand and get the word out for some of these local businesses that we all know could use a little help right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very cool gesture by our company and Bud Walters and everybody, Dennis, Matthew, everybody involved with us. And so it'll be cool. Be cool to help each other out. So we'll do that here in just a few minutes. But news of the day, there is a sport, and you know how excited I am because this is my sport, that has announced they're coming back. NASCAR came out yesterday with their revised schedule and a return to the track without fans starting May 17th at the Darlington Raceway on Fox. They've gotten together with Fox Sports on this to televise all these events.
Are you going to be wearing pants on May 17th?
Probably not. There's a good chance I will not. That is a Sunday. That is race day. So they will run a 400-mile race from the Darlington Raceway starting at 2:30 Central Time on that date. Now, Steve O'Donnell, who is the executive vice president of NASCAR, he handles all the competition stuff, kind of the face of the sport from the corporate standpoint. He talked yesterday about resuming the season on May 17th.
Just quickly going over what we're planning on heading into. So the 17th, as you saw, will open up at Darlington, 400-mile race. That race will include live pit stops. It was important for us to be able to showcase a race as close to what normally takes place as possible. But it was also important for us to minimize what activity took place leading up to an event. That's why we won't have practice or qualifying prior to that event. The same thing will be in place Tuesday when we go back to Darlington for the Xfinity race. No practice or qualifying, 200-mile race. And then Wednesday we'll go back with the second cup race. It'll be 500 kilometers. Again, no practice or qualifying, but live pit stops. And for Darlington, the Southern 500 remains in place over Labor Day weekend. The dates that we've announced today will be realigned dates. We'll have more details that will be out to you shortly, but as I'm sure you can appreciate, we've got some work to do with local and state officials and tracks as well to make sure that all that messaging and things are in place in those local communities of a date that has possibly been moved to Darlington.
Steve O'Donnell, Vice President of NASCAR. So basically the schedule is as follows. You heard that. Darlington on the 17th with the Cup Series. They'll go back on Tuesday the 19th for the Xfinity Series. Ryan, that's AAA essentially. On May 20th,
Thanks, Chase.
A Wednesday, Darlington again for the Cup race, a primetime race on FS1. And then the following weekend, the Charlotte Motor Speedway, they will be there for the Coca-Cola 600, as it usually is on Memorial Day weekend, and then do a Monday Xfinity race, a Tuesday truck race, and another Cup race on Wednesday on the Oval, not the Roval, the Oval, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So they're going to basically knock out four races for the Cup Series to kick this thing off. And it's interesting, they're going to keep the Labor Day date at Darlington as scheduled. So I know you're not a big race fan. There are some people listening right now that go, I don't really follow NASCAR. What does all this mean? It means that a sport has taken the step to come back. And they're one-day shows. They're not going to have practice and qualifying. They aren't going to have fans. They're going to see how this works and then release the rest of the schedule. But something we have said on Darren Donick and Chase, me being the NASCAR fan that I am, Darren having covered it for so long, this is a huge opportunity for a sport that lost a ton of momentum, started to get some of it back last year with a revamped rules package, and they have the right people in place. Now they can be the only show in town. They have the TV deal. People can watch. I think they're going to get people tuning in that have never watched NASCAR before simply because there's something on, there's a live sport on. So I think this is a big opportunity for them.
It's a huge opportunity for NASCAR to win back a lot of the fans that may have, you know, maybe walked away from watching the sport here in the last few years. We all know that the ratings haven't been as good here in recent years compared to 10, 20 years ago when, you know, we would all agree that NASCAR was kind of in its heyday. It was in its prime form. And for NASCAR to have this opportunity and have the stage all to itself, I think is going to be great for them. And I think this is going to be a good experiment for them for, say, midweek races. I mean, the fact that they're going to be racing on Wednesday nights or a handful of Wednesday nights throughout this calendar year, I think is going to kind of shed light on what could be possible moving forward beyond 2020.
I can just see it now. A balmy Wednesday night in June out at the Nashville Fairgrounds. Keep an eye on that because I think that is coming. So there you go. That is the NASCAR schedule. So what other sports are close to coming back? Obviously, one that we pay attention to in these parts, Ryan, would be the National Hockey League because of the Predators. Gary Bettman did the gamut yesterday. He spoke to a lot of people. I know he was on the Dan Patrick show. So just how close is the NHL to coming back?
I don't think anybody knows for certain. We're going to have to take things one step at a time because the health and well-being of our players is paramount, anything we're focused on. And so we'd like to be able to get our training facilities open. We'd like our guys to be able to work themselves back into shape. But this is something we're going to continue to evaluate on a day-to-day basis.
Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, he's noncommittal. He's been noncommittal. I don't fault him for that because I think we've gotten in trouble through all of this, Ryan, by putting dates on things.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR did it, but I think NASCAR is actually going to live up to it.
They're
going to
follow through with it.
Yeah, so that's okay. But he's been very careful about putting dates on things and not getting people's hopes up, and that's probably not a bad thing.
It's smart. He also said that they are flexible with the start time of the next season, so the 2021 season, the regular season. They're flexible to start it even in December if they have to, just to get in this season. I think that shows you how important it is for the National Hockey League to finish this regular season or postseason. You know, Greg Wyshynski on ESPN.com stated earlier this week that about $1 billion is at stake potentially for the National Hockey League if they cannot finish the playoffs or even start the playoffs. So this is big for the NHL. Now, Gary Bettman won't say dates, and I'm sure we're going to get to this, Chase, but, you know, you start hearing whispers from, say, Elliot Friedman or, you know, John Scott, former NHL player, tweeted out over the weekend, last weekend, that he's starting to hear some finite dates with everything. Yep. And it kind of aligns with what we heard yesterday, or Wednesday rather, with the NHL and NHLPA statement where phase two of this comeback process could start in mid-May.
Well, you bring up Elliot Friedman. He joined us on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday for his weekly visit, and he said he was told by a player that his team told him to be ready around May 15th.
Now, I was told today by one player that unofficially, because he says nothing's official, but his team kind of told him to be ready around May 15th. And he spoke to some players on his team that were in Europe, and they were saying, we're starting to look into it. So I think we're at the point where you're going to see some guys try to figure out what their movement will be and what their movement can be.
Because I feel like for all the players that are overseas in Europe, when they come back, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. I mean, they pretty much have to be locked in their houses for 2 weeks after traveling. That fair? Is it fair to say that before any type of, you know, facility opens or they can report, I should say?
Well, if they're going to target May 15th to actually be ready to go to the facility, then those players in Europe need to come home this weekend.
Right.
You know?
And I wonder if that happens. I'm just curious of that. If May 15th is truly the date. Now, I feel like that's early because everything, all indications that I have gotten, and you tell me if you've interpreted this a different way, it's been more that we're looking at early June. The season resumes probably late June, early July.
I would say June 1st would be a lot more realistic than May 15th to reopen facilities.
Yeah, I just feel like May 15th is very, very early. And I go back to NASCAR because people might look at this and go, well, NASCAR's coming back. Why can't the NHL do it? It's obviously very different. You have the drivers that are in their race cars, so they're socially distancing each other because they're all in race cars. You have the crews spread out on pit road. You're limiting. You're not bringing in a bunch of people to the racetrack. So they're able to contain it a lot better than a hockey team would.
Well, what's interesting about the potential reopening of facilities is, say, a certain state has looser stay-at-home laws than other states. So, say, do the Nashville Predators, if the state of Tennessee is looser than Ohio, do the Predators get an advantage over the Blue Jackets with the reopening of a facility, or does the NHL open all of its facilities at once? I would think it's the latter, but I would be interested to know if the former is on the table.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because I think that it's going to just vary. And you hear this proposed plan of central sites and doing things like that and not having, you know, not having everybody play in their home arenas. I mean, that obviously is going to have a lot to do with everything, with the state laws. And I mean, look at Nashville right now. The rest of the state's starting to reopen except for a handful of counties, and Davidson, Metro Nashville, that is one of those. Our mayor is being, in my opinion, very cautious and smart about it. So he is taking his time on reopening the city. That obviously is going to play into what the NHL decides to do. So that's kind of the latest on their end, which means there's not really any news with the NHL. As we started the show, NASCAR announcing they will return May 17th. And I want to take this time to actually make this announcement, Ryan, that the Chasing Checkers podcast that I did for so long will actually return starting today. The first episode will drop today. So I know a lot of you that are race fans have asked me if I was going to bring it back when I transitioned to the midday show and other things I was doing. I just didn't have a lot of time, but turns out I have a lot of time right now, so it will return later on today. But when we come back, what league has the most to lose if they don't return? I'm curious to hear Ryan's answer. You can weigh in at 615-737-1025 via the phone or text. We'll do that next on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Many local businesses in Middle Tennessee are still open and ready to serve you during these uncertain times. Help them out by visiting rocknashville.com for delivery pickup options, fitness ideas, virtual entertainment, and more. We got this, Nashville. Support your local businesses, and it is a free business Friday.
Chase, did you notice that song coming back?
You know, I was so into my read.
That was 6 Feet Apart by Luke Combs.
Very good song. I saw him play that on his stream, and then he said he recorded it. And
yeah, he released it today.
That's very cool. Luke Combs, a hell of an artist. So
100%.
Very, very cool by him. So free business Friday. You can get in on that maybe today, but definitely next week if you want to do that. That's something that we have started. And full disclosure, when I texted Ryan about this, I said, hey, let's promote Free Beer Friday at the start of the show. And I meant free business, but Free Beer Friday would be fun.
Well, so speaking of that, at 9:30, we're going to be drafting our quarantine drinks.
Yes.
So speaking of beer.
Yes, very excited about that because I have a feeling that's going to be on there. So I asked the question, a league with the most to lose if they don't return. I bring this up because, and I'm curious of where you are on this. I actually think it's the NHL. And here's why I say that.
Okay.
Since the last lockout, I feel like that they have gotten on the same page with the players. They've been happy for the most part, both sides have, with the CBA. They've gone through negotiations about the next CBA, and it feels like everything's good, and they're a healthy league. That is a word, healthy, that Gary Bettman and many connected to the NHL use a lot, and I think that to be true. The TV deal is going to be up in a few years. It's looking like they're going to get another network involved, so you could have ESPN back in the fray or somebody else. That's good for the league. They're making money. They've added a team. They're going to add one more team in Seattle. So they're growing. But we have seen that over the years that it feels like things get going, lockout. Get things going, get going, lockout. Now you have something that is completely beyond their control that they have had nothing to do with, and now it slowed things down. So I do think that getting the season back, having the playoffs, being able to have that television money is extremely important for the NHL. Now, am I sitting here saying that the NHL would die if the season doesn't resume? No, that is not what I'm saying at all. But I do think it would hurt. And it might hurt more than other leagues, in my opinion, just because of the momentum that they built.
You make a valid case for the NHL. From a financial standpoint, I would probably say the NHL. I mean, $1 billion is $1 billion. And that would be a tough pill to swallow for everyone associated with the NHL. I will say college athletics, not named college football, has the most to lose.
Ooh, that's a very good point.
Because if college football does not happen for whatever reason this fall, or say if they were to start the season in September and then they have to pause the season in November because of a second wave of this, then college athletics are going to suffer big time, and especially at smaller universities where, you know, student athletes are getting an opportunity to play other sports that aren't getting as much recognition as football. Those are the teams that are going to suffer the most, and the student athletes that are going to suffer the most. So I would say college athletics, not named college football.
Yeah, that is a good point, because as like Darren has brought this up just about every day that we've gotten into a college football discussion, if college football doesn't return, you're going to have other sports go away, other college sports. And that would be, I mean, that sucks if you're the football team to have that kind of pressure on you, but that's just the way the world is. I mean, that's the way the college world is, especially. I mean, football spins the wheel.
I mean, we've already seen the Cincinnati Bearcats say that men's soccer is done.
Yeah.
They have closed the door on the entire program.
And think about the implications of that. It's not just, okay, the soccer team's gone and however many are on the team can't play soccer. There are scholarships connected to that. There's some revenue connected to that for sure that now the university's not going to get. I mean, you're affecting these kids' lives. I mean, because of, you know, there are a lot of athletes, no matter what sport, that they go to college because of the scholarship that they get for playing the sport. Otherwise, they don't go to college. So that's the trickle-down effect of all of this. And I know that you've had some commissioners say that, well, if the kids aren't on campus, then we're not playing. Okay. Get that, I guess. Rick Stockstill was on with us the other day, and he said, if it's not safe for the fans, then why is it safe for the players that are tackling and laying on top of each other during a football practice or game? Okay, that's a fair point. So there are a lot of different opinions on this that I get, but at the same time, that's the balance and that's the tricky part of trying to figure out the financial implications of not having a season or even delaying a season. what that would do for college athletics overall. So you bring up a very good point. I was thinking more of the professional aspect of it, but if you, you know, bringing up college athletics, I think you might have me beat there.
Well, from a professional aspect of it too, from a popularity point of view, I would say Major League Baseball has more to lose than the National Hockey League.
Well, that's what I was getting in or about to transition into, because I agree with you. Because Major League Baseball is another sport that in 1994 with the players' strike, it hurt them bad. They were no longer America's pastime. The NFL, that gave the NFL everything they needed to take over as being America's pastime, even though they have a 17-week season. They became the most popular sport in this country. Now, 1998, helped baseball. But then what happened? We found out why.
Well, the steroid era as a whole, not just 98, not just the Maguire-Sosa home run chase, but the steroid era as a whole, when you include Barry Bonds in that as well, and his chase of Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth back in the early 2000s, I would say both of those instances, just the entire era, brought baseball back to a degree, but still it hasn't really been the same popularity-wise in the last 20 years, and you know, attendance has been waning at these games.
Right. And, I mean, they're not to make light of this situation, but I'm going to use the Miami Marlins. You know, they're talking about playing without fans. I mean, Miami Marlins have basically been doing that since they opened that brand-new stadium. They don't get fans. Nobody goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's a huge problem. And they've done things to fix pace of play and to make it more exciting. And, you know, they've instituted a new rule this year with relief pitchers that you have to face a minimum of three batters before you can make a pitching change, which I like that rule. You know, they're looking at DH across the board. That's always a debate. So there are different things that baseball is looking at to try and get people more interested in their game. But the problem is they've waited so long. They were so stubborn of, well, we're baseball. I mean, we're a traditional sport. You know, we don't need to make changes. Well, now they're realizing that they do. And now they have a stoppage that is beyond their control, just like the other sports, and coming at a time where they basically own it. I mean, this is why this is so good for NASCAR, because during the summer you had the MLS, you had MLB, you had NASCAR, and NASCAR is the only one as of right now that's saying that they're coming back and they're going to start in May. Baseball, though, of those three, was number one. And I think that this hurts them. I mean, this slows down a little bit of momentum, I guess, if they had any at all. So that's why that's a good point by you to bring them up, because I think they have to get this thing going sooner rather than later. If this plan that leaked out of 100 games and they're able to pull that off, that could be big for them.
Well, if they were able to make it work with being able to play sooner rather than later, that would be a prime sport that could capitalize, like NASCAR is going to capitalize on the fact that there are no other sports going on. People can sit here and watch NASCAR and maybe get into NASCAR when they weren't previously into NASCAR. And baseball, not to say, you know, that they should have done it. It doesn't make sense right now to have baseball come back in the style that NASCAR's coming back. But just to bring up that point that this could have been an opportunity for baseball to, you know, accentuate its brand. And look, baseball had a lot of big headlines, a lot of them for the wrong reasons in the offseason, but they were in the news. It was – people were looking forward to this baseball season just for the sheer fact of watching the Houston Astros get plunked every time they go up to the batter's box. You had a thrilling World Series last year. You have a ton of bright new stars in Major League Baseball. You have Mookie Betts going from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. You have all these different storylines, and, you know, it sounds like Major League Baseball is at least looking at coming back late June, early July. But in the doomsday scenario that you're proposing, I would say Major League Baseball, from a popularity standpoint, has the most to lose, because it's already going in the wrong direction when it comes to their popularity.
In my mind, there's a pretty clear-cut answer to this question as we wrap this up, but the league that is the best equipped to survive this.
That's not even a question. That's,
NFL?
That not even a question, yes.
Yeah. I mean, because they've done it already. I mean, they've had their – this is their off season, and it's felt, even though we had a virtual draft, and that was obviously different, didn't have the popping circumstance of the normal draft, I feel like they haven't really missed a beat. It feels like things have been – there may have been a couple of bumps in the road to get this draft going, but I would call it a success. I enjoyed it. It was different. Roger Goodell, don't quit your day job. You're not a comedian. But other than that, the NFL's kept going.
Well, the NFL's kept going because they haven't had games to play. That's been the advantage,
but I still think
timing-wise with them.
I still think that even if the season gets delayed or they have to start the season without fans – They're the most equipped to be able to pull that off.
I would agree with you. NBA, I think, is up there as well. Not to the degree of the NFL, but the fact that the NBA has global superstars within their league and it's star-driven and they're not reliant on teams like Major League Baseball. I think the NBA is going to be just fine through this as well.
Are you working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. When we return here on The Rundown, we're bringing our draft back, quarantine beverages. We will do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson at the Wholesaling Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. You can stream us on the Game Nashville app, as you just heard me say before the break. It is time for our draft, the quarantine beverage of choice draft. Ryan Porth will lead us off, followed by Marquise, and then yours truly with the third pick. So, all right, let me just make sure I have this right. These can be cocktails, mixed drinks, right? Not just the liquor.
Sure. Yeah.
Does
well,
it
I
have
mean,
to
we're,
be the liquor?
We are stocking the bar. This is our we are putting together our quarantine bar.
Okay. But for some of us, they're restocking the bar because we've been at this for a while.
Some of us have been restocking the bar on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Your cat probably has one hell of a mansion by now.
Well, we had to tear down his mansion.
That's unfortunate.
He has a lesser version laying on the floor, just about 20 feet away from me as he's banging on the door upstairs because he was trying to eat cords this morning. but yes, we have been restocking the bar on a weekly basis and might be doing so later today.
Okay. Well, without further ado, let's get into this thing. Let's have a little fun on a Friday. A quarantine Friday. Ryan Porth, you are on the clock.
I am on the clock, and with the first pick of our quarantine bar, I am going to represent this great nation with a domestic beer that represents America at its finest, and that is Budweiser. Budweiser, the king of beers, is A, my favorite domestic beer, and B, just a great American beverage. So I will gladly take Budweiser with the first overall pick.
Budweiser, this is beer. Marquise Munson is now on the clock.
Well, since me and you have kind of the same taste, I'm not going to go with what I know is going to be your first pick, because I know for a fact that this is your first pick. So I'm going to go a different direction, because I had some great times with this beverage, and that is Jim Beam being my number two overall pick in this beverage draft.
You're going Jim Beam.
Yes.
All right.
A big bottle of Jim Beam.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all.
Great times with Jim Beam.
So that means that I am on the clock for the next two picks because we're doing a snake draft. So with the third overall pick in our adult beverage quarantine bar draft, whatever you want to call it, of course, the old standby, my best friend, but I'm going gentleman Jack Daniels. The gentleman Jack.
See? I knew it.
Yeah, you know. You know me so well, Marquise. I will take that with the third pick. Yes, the G-Jack. Gentleman Jack, so good. And there are some people that might say, oh, that's a college drink. Well, forget them. Mm.
I Wait, who says that? Yeah, who are you talking to that says these things?
Well, they never shut up.
I never.
I mean, this is one of Terry Crisp's personal favorites.
This is what I go with Crispy. I listen to Crispy, so I go Gentleman Jack.
Okay.
For the fourth pick, since we are snaking, this is also a good one, especially as we get into the summer months, sitting on the deck, Tito's Vodka. Give me some Tito's.
Okay, I thought you were going to go with Coca-Cola to put with your G-Jack.
No, sometimes I just drink it on the rocks, baby.
Ooh. No, thank you.
I like it. I like it. Let's stick to the brown, because I like to keep it brown. I don't drink none of the clear stuff. That stuff bothers me. So I am going to go an underrated pick, which I could have probably picked later on, kind of like how the Raiders could have picked a cornerback later. I could have probably picked this later, but this is a very underrated drink that I want to go ahead and get. I am going to go with Chattanooga Whiskey as my number two pick.
That's some good stuff right there.
Chattanooga Whiskey is some good stuff. That's why I had to get it now, because like it's some good stuff. Like, I'm picking this pretty high. I probably could have got it with my fourth pick, but I'm going to go with it now. Chattanooga Whiskey, that stuff is strong, too.
You definitely could have gotten that with your third pick. I'll say that, because I was not going to go the route of Chattanooga Whiskey. All right, so with my second pick, I picked Budweiser with my first pick. With the second pick, I'm going to keep it local. And y'all know that I'm a big beer guy. I'm not into the brown water. I'm going to keep it local and go with Mill Creek Little Darlin'.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mill Creek is some good stuff. Little Darlin', some good stuff. So I will represent Nashville and go with Mill Creek Little Darlin'. And I will also, you know what? I'm going to keep it local again. And I'm going to go with Happ and Harry's.
Love some Happ and Harry's.
Happ and Harry's is a good beer. And this would be their, I guess you could say, the original Happ and Harry's, not their different flavors. I know they have a Nashville Sounds Kolsch beer that is very good too. But I'm going with the original Happ and Harry's with the next pick.
All right. I like it. This one is not my pick. This one's for the homies. Ooh. For the homies. My next pick is Miller Lite. Miller Lite.
Diet Miller.
Miller Lite is my pick for my third overall pick.
The homies like the Diet Miller.
Does Patrick Mahomes like it?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. But that's a solid pick.
Okay.
All right. My next one. This would be, where am I at? Number three.
This is your third pick.
Yep. Number three for me. I will go local and I will go with a beer. The Tailgate Peanut Butter Milk Stout. Love the peanut butter milk stout from Tailgate Brewery.
Tailgate definitely has some great beer. I'm not a milk stout guy, so I can't say I've ever tried this particular one, but Tailgate definitely has some good beer.
So every now and then with my last pick, as we snake back around, every now and then I like to switch it up and go from the bourbon or the whiskey and have a little bit of spice rum in my life. So I'm going with Sailor Jerry. Sailor Jerry spice rum.
All right.
All right. I haven't went local or beer or anything like that. I was going to go some Tuscaloosa local beer route.
That's beer.
I mean,
I know, but I was going to go some local. I said local okay. spots. All but, right. You know, people wouldn't know the Tuscaloosa bar scene too much like I do. So with this last pick, since I got my whiskey, I got the Jim Beam, I got the beer, I do need something clear, but I don't drink vodka because that stuff bothers me, like I said earlier. But this doesn't, and that is 1800 Tequila. I love some 1800 Tequila. I will say so myself. So that's what I'm going to go with.
It's rare that I drink tequila, but when I do, it's
what a commercial by
what
Chase.
A time.
I don't normally drink 1800 Tequila, but when I do, it's 1800.
I prefer Dos Equis.
No, I'm just saying it's a time.
Okay. All right.
Me and tequila have had some nights.
Yeah, tequila is my personal kryptonite.
I've seen that.
Yes, you have. So I am going to go off the board here, and this pick is strictly for two of my high school friends who, Chase, you know very well, and they are going to poke fun at this pick, but it is a solid Ryan Porth drink. And I don't care if anyone wants to take my man card. I don't care about that at all. But with the Mr. Irrelevant pick, which is completely relevant, I am going with the Bud Light Straw Burrito.
Marquise, okay. I'm not surprised by this at all.
I'm not either. I'm just kind of shrugged my shoulders, like, okay.
Just kind of move on. I thought for a second he was going to save himself and say Pink Whitney, which I would have supported. I'm good with the Pink Whitney, but
give me the Bud Light Straw Burrito.
I have a question though.
Yeah, go for it.
Did you have this before you met the fiance or after?
Oh, dude, I've had Bud Light Straw Burritos for years.
So this is pre-fiancé. How does the fiancé feel about your love of straw burritos?
You know, I can't remember the last time, actually, that I bought straw burritos.
That's an eye-opener right there. That explains
a
lot.
Well, I do love me some straw burritos, and I might have to restock the bar this evening with Bud Light Straw Burritos. But this goes back, you know, all the way to, you know, when I was 22, 23.
I don't think I've seen you drink one, though. And, I mean, we've been out a lot.
And when I do, I have my pinky in the air.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But it is so good. It is so good.
So there you go. There are the draft picks.
A fruity drink for a fruity guy.
I have nothing to say to that.
Son, I remember when I had my first straw burrito.
I need to go check the fridge. I'll be right back. But there you go. That is our stock the bar.
Do you want to recap
recap for us, please?
All right. Let's recap. Marquise Munson going with Jim Beam, Chattanooga whiskey, Miller Lite, and 1800 tequila. That's a pretty solid bar there, Marquise.
Well, if I would have had five picks, Pink Whitney would have been my fifth pick. I thought we had five picks, but no, I went with four. But Pink Whitney would have been my fifth if I would have had five.
All right. Chase McCabe going with Gentleman Jack, Tito's Vodka, Tailgate Peanut Butter Milk Stout, and Sailor Jerry Spice Rum. So another very solid bar there for you, Chase McCabe.
It'll last me the weekend.
And then yours truly going with Budweiser, Mill Creek Little Darlin', Happen Harry's, a couple local beers right there, and then a personal favorite of years past, the Bud Light Straw Burrito.
There you go. That is our draft. We will...
Should we put this out on Twitter and see if...
Yes.
See who Twitter thinks the best bar.
I think, you know what, fruity guy, I think you should. I think we should put that out and see what people have to say about it.
Okay.
So we're going to hear some straw burrito stories.
We will do that. I need this break to regather my thoughts after this news that we have just learned. But when we come back here on The Rundown, we have a new contest coming up here at ESPN 102.5 The Game that we will tell you about. We'll do that next here on The Rundown on ESPN 102.5 The Game. La Champion back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. We have recovered from our draft after Ryan announced he loves straw burritos, which, hey, more power to you, Ryan. Proud of you.
To each their own, right?
To each their own. It is a free country. For sure, here on a Friday. So we have a new contest that we are launching. It is our uniform contest. Enter the ESPN, the Game Nashville's uniform drawing contest for a chance to win a jersey from the Nashville Predators and Nashville SC and the Nashville Sounds and Vanderbilt or MTSU Vanderbilt football or MTSU basketball. That's a lot of jerseys. All you have to do is download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit it for your chance to win.
So this is a really cool contest that one of our staff members was kind of the brainchild behind. So to kind of clarify what you win here, it's not one winner getting all of those personalized jerseys. And these are free personalized jerseys that you could win. That is a really cool prize that we rarely ever offer on these airwaves. So this is a really cool opportunity for your creativity to run rampant and create a 102.5 The Game jersey. So if you design the best hockey jersey, you win a free Predators customized jersey for you. And you win two tickets to a future Predators home game. Doesn't get much better than that. If you create the best soccer jersey, the same offer stands for Nashville SC. If you create the best baseball jersey, you will receive a free Nashville Sounds jersey, a customized jersey. And then football and basketball, you'll either get a Vanderbilt jersey or MTSU jersey and tickets to either of those events. So really cool promotion that we'll be doing. For all the info, go to thegamenashville.com. But a unique promotion that that we're excited to announce today.
Yeah, that's going to be cool, and I know I'm not eligible, but I still want to do it because this is fun. This is like right up my alley of being creative, so might have to do that. And you can use Photoshop or you can use crayons or whatever you want to do. The kids obviously will have a lot of fun with this, so should be really cool. I'm a little disappointed that I don't see the NASCAR fire suit on there, but that's just me. But it's still very, very cool.
Well, then you would have to come up with about 50 different logos, though, if you want to create a NASCAR suit.
That's true. I designed so I've gotten on the iRacing that everyone's doing. And so I've been trying to do that, and I designed a race car and put the game logos on it. So it was kind of neat to be able to do that.
Very cool.
Yeah, you're right. You need a lot of logos on a fire suit.
A lot of little logos, too.
Yep. And then you have to remember all of those sponsors when you win. Like, I want to thank DeWalt and Alltel and Budweiser and Coca-Cola.
And Bud Light Strawberita.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in Victory Lane.
Hey, first time for everything.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. So check that out at thegamenashville.com. Our uniform contest is on now. So that'll be cool. You can win some great prizes. So, Ryan, here on a Friday, there's an E60 piece that is coming up this weekend. I know Adam Schefter had a lot to do with it. On Alex Smith, Washington Redskins quarterback, who has had just one of those 30-for-30 careers almost. I mean, when he was drafted and then going through San Francisco and up and down, and it looked like, okay, he's a bust. And then Harbaugh gets there, and all of a sudden, okay, he's looking like he should, looking like a first-round pick. And then he gets benched after getting hurt, goes to Kansas City, again looking good, just warming the seat for Patrick Mahomes. And then maybe a third chance to stay in the career, and he gets hurt. I'm really looking forward to this piece.
Yeah, well, the piece is all centered around his leg, which was shattered in November of 2018 against the Houston Texans. And, you know, it was one of the most gruesome, it was Joe Theismann-esque, one of the most gruesome injuries you will ever see on any field of play. And he's had, I believe, if I remember this correctly, Stefania Bell of ESPN joined Golic and Wingo yesterday to put, I guess, some color to this story, and she's been working feverishly with this piece that is going to come out this evening with this E60, and I believe he is into double-digit surgeries on his leg, and there was a point in time within a couple weeks after he sustained the injury that he almost lost his life, and there was an infection in his leg that was in danger of spreading throughout his body. And if it had done that, his life would have been in serious jeopardy, which is just mind-boggling to think that a leg injury can have that kind of impact. They almost had to amputate the leg. And now he's walking, he's running around with his kids in the backyard. So I'm really looking forward to watching this piece tonight, because I think it's going to be one of those inspirational stories that you're going to probably see a lot of emotion out of Alex Smith and maybe, you know, his family. And then you see, you know, a lot of feel good stuff of him recovering and spending time with his kids.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. So that you can check that out tonight. And I'm the same way, because I've always liked Alex Smith. And how many times did we use the Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith comparison? And at the end of the day, if Mariota's career mirrors that of Alex Smith, you know, outside of the leg injury, of course, it's not awful. I mean, he's had success in this league. Maybe not the way that he wanted, but he's been a successful quarterback. And, you know, if he had been able to play, who knows what that would have meant for the Redskins, because I thought that was a good pickup for them when he left Kansas City after they gave Patrick Mahomes the job. And look, as it turned out, that was the right move because they won a Super Bowl.
Sure.
So I think that you just kind of have to look at his career as one of those roller coasters. It was a ride for sure. And I assume it's over. I mean, I guess there's a chance he could play again, but I don't feel like it's going to happen.
I think there is a chance that he plays again, but I mean, I would be hard pressed to see him coming back, because he won't play in 2020. So then right. That would be two full seasons that he would be out of the league. And at what, 35, 36 years old, you know, 35 turns 36 in a week. So I don't think Alex Smith is going to play football again, as cool of a story as that would be. But yeah, it had to have been one of the most gruesome injuries ever in sports. I mean, that's up there with Joe Theismann. That's up there with Kevin Ware of Louisville when he snapped his leg in the NCAA tournament. You know, I'm trying to think of some others. Clinton.
Well, wasn't his injury like almost at the same spot on the same day as Joe Theismann? Wasn't there some correlation between
there,
the two?
There was some correlation. Now that you bring that up, I can't remember all of it, but it looked almost
both
the exact
Redskins
same. And I think you're right. I think it was on the anniversary of it, which is spooky.
And I think it was almost like the same spot of the field. Obviously different stadiums, but almost the same
have to look
exact
that up.
Spot. But one thing on the Joe Theismann, if you I think it was HBO did this a few years ago. They did a documentary on Lawrence Taylor, and they go into that in depth of how he – and that really screwed up LT. I mean, he had a hard time with it because he liked Joe, respect Joe, obviously didn't mean to do it. And so if you ever have a chance to look that up, I forget exactly what it's called, but it's on Lawrence Taylor. It's very interesting. I mean, the whole thing is, but just him talking about the injury to Joe Theismann and all of that, something that you should definitely check out. Real quick, Ryan, before we get out of here, I want to say tonight at 6 o'clock on our Facebook Live, I'm excited about this, to be able to sit down with Teron Davenport of ESPN and former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington. We're going to do that live, stream it at our Facebook page. Just look for 102.5 The Game 94.9 or ESPN 94.9.
We have a piece of breaking news to close the show.
Okay.
Tom Pelissero of NFL Network just put it out there 3 minutes ago, saying the Titans are declining Corey Davis's fifth-year option.
No surprise.
No surprise.
No surprise at all. That's the right decision. You get out on the field and prove it. They're doing the same thing with him as they did with Jack Conklin, and we'll see how that pans out. So that'll be something that might come up tonight with Nate Washington at 6 o'clock on our Facebook page. That is going to do it for the rundown. Another week in the books. Stick around, though. Darren Donovan Chase, that is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.